This is Tip TV Finance, me, Jenny Hammond and Zach Mayer, and with us in the studio is Bill Blaine from MIM Partners. Bill, it's good to have you with us.
Always a pleasure.
So let's start off with Snapchat, because this is sort of leading the news agenda in a lot of places, and it was the darling of Wall Street, but it's somewhat fallen from grace. What do you make of this?
Well, I've got to start off and admit, I don't have a clue what it is Snapchat actually does. Yes, I've been shown how it can put a doggy nose on a photograph of me.
And that's pretty much what it does.
And it's really, really popular with its target audience of people who have absolutely no money, which is my kids and upwards. But what's it all about? It's about big data, and it's about the ability of big data to garner information that becomes sellable. And I suppose that might explain the spectacular uptake of the offering. And then people realising maybe it was just a little bit overbought when it's collapsed.
Whether you like it or not, we're in an era where you have to be able to value companies like Snapchat. You have to have some metric. 40 times last year's losses is not probably the...
And I love that line. I'm going to rip off your line. Definitely tomorrow.
It's probably
morning.
Not the way. Inverted PE is not the way. The way forward, I think, going on to your big data comment, is that it's valued at a multiple of each user. Each user is valued at $200, and they've got 40 million or whatever it is users, blah, blah, blah. You get 20 billion or whatever the math is. And is that fair?
Well, I really don't know, because I'm not an expert on how you value the potential earnings that come in per usual.
But what I do understand
is that there are going to be people that are going to rely on big data information flows. They will conglomerate that information, and I think that's where the market sees the value. But because nobody else knows that either, it's not just me that's totally ignorant, it's everybody else. Everyone else is making a guess, and I think the trading pattern we've seen with the massive rise and then the very quick slide shows how the market's still getting its head around the unfathomable value of big data.
There was also a lot of speculation off the back of Snapchat's IPO that other sort of unicorns would float. Do you think that they're going to be spooked now because of this?
No, I suspect this is an ongoing theme. If we think back to... let's look at the history of these kind of unicorns over the last 20 years through the dot-com bubble and before. There is going to be a continued succession of these things and happening, where you see massive value ascribed to, as Zach says, 40 times losses companies. But that is only going to get corrected when we see the reset button pressed. And by that, I mean when we get back to a more stable and sustainable type of market. At the moment, there's still an awful lot of froth in the market. There's still an awful lot of money chasing far fewer assets. We've got a lot of expectations, which is part of the Trump jump, of course, but also the fact that we're expecting to see the US economy recover. So people are still jumping in on that. Now, what do I mean by global reset? There's a lot of people think that the kind of market trading we're seeing just now is setting us up for some kind of reset later in the year. How big that is, I don't know. Is it just a correction or is it a massive collapse? Who knows? But at that stage, you'll see expectations and the irrational exuberance that goes with all that kind of thing. I think you'll see it corrected. But I'd go back to my earlier comments about nobody really knows how to value how other people are valuing big data. And that's the game that people have played with Snapchat. How much is somebody else going to value that?
Yeah, I mean, this reset concept is one I want to pick up on. Reset for me, I thought in 2005-06 there was going to be a reset right just around the corner.
I guess there kind of was.
There kind of was, but it wasn't the type of thing. There wasn't the property collapse. There wasn't the people starving in the street that I was expecting. In fact, maybe quite the opposite. And ever since then, we've had a reset on the basis that the Eurozone is going to break up, which it hasn't, or the Euro is going to fail, which it hasn't. Nothing has failed. Nothing fails, and apparently nothing fails when you're in a zero interest rate environment, because then you've got a mattress that everybody can just fall back down on, or a safety. Well, I'm trying to think of the right analogy there, but you know what I'm saying. Safety net, and we're saved every time. And so even Donald Trump becomes president, the shares go up because we've got such a with zero interest rates. It's like having morphine. It's financial morphine.
You don't lock it on for the markets.
Exactly. You don't feel any pain whatsoever.
I think there are a number of different themes playing out just now. there is a genuine economic trend, there is a market trend going on in the US where we are going to start to see recovery. And by reset, I mean some kind of correction applied to expectations in the minds of investors. That could take the form of a 1987-type Black Monday crash, or it may just be a sustained correction. I don't think we have anything to fear from rising US interest rates, despite the noise that we're hearing out of the Fed. It's going to be gradual. So we don't know what is going to be the shocker or surprise that creates the dollar reset, but I reckon we are going to see some kind of expectations correction. Let's leave that on one side and look at the euro, which is a completely different series of issues. The euro is all about politics. At the moment, we're in this peculiar stage where the European Union morphed from being a simple trade agreement, which was a wonderful way of keeping the peace in Europe for 80 years, and it's now morphed into this move towards the United Sovereign States of Europe, which is something, of course, that the British people have taken fear to, and we backed out of it in Brexit. But the general trend is towards closer political union in Europe, and monetary union was part of that process. Unfortunately, we've got stalled because the monetary union phase has been, frankly, very badly arranged. That's why we have such crisis going on in southern Europe, where uncompetitive economies are unable to recover, and why we're seeing the imbalance of Germany doing so well using a cheap currency, that you've got this imbalance going on, and the politics that result from that is why we're so nervous at the moment about Europe. That's why we've got all these electoral shocks coming up. Whether they will prove to be shocks, we've yet got to see, but they start next week in Holland, and then 5 weeks' time it's France, and then later this year we're going to have Italy, and we're going to have Germany as well. All potential hiccups, and they're all politically based. Unlike in the States, where our fears are economic performance based, here in Europe they're politically based. Should we panic? The market, of course, is doing the usual thing here in London. Oh, it's the euro, it's bound to fail. Forget all that. The euro will probably succeed because the ECB and all the European politicians know that it's going to be too darn difficult to unwind. I got this brilliant quote.
It's another too big to fail, isn't it?
Well, I got this brilliant quote from one of my German clients yesterday, and he said, Bill, the second biggest mistake we ever made was the euro. The biggest mistake we've not made yet would be to try and exit it.
Well, on that note, we'll leave it there. Bill, thank you. Bill Blaine there.
Always
from
pleasure.
Wind Partners.